In the 24th chapter of Luke, the Lord Jesus Christ has been resurrected from the dead. He has talked to those two brethren on the road to Emmaus. He has met with the 11 in the upper room. He has given them a commission, and he starts that in verse 46. And he says, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, comma, and to rise from the dead the third day. If you'll stop and analyze that just for a moment, that's awesome. He did not describe the events that led up to his captivity from that soul suffering prayer in the garden. He did not mention one thing about the false witnesses nor the unjust trial. He didn't mention anything of the excruciating pain of being nailed and the shame and humiliation of the cross. He just summed it up. He's just been through all that. He just summed it up and said, it behooved Christ to suffer. In one word. And to rise from the dead the third day. And the next verse, in the next two or three verses, he tells those apostles to go out and preach that doctrine. You go tell the folks how I suffered. You go tell them also, don't forget the resurrection either. You go tell them about that. You tell them that they should consider those things. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. The suffering, the resurrection, that ought to be preached. And incidentally, while you're preaching, preach this, that suffering and that resurrection remitted sins. That's powerful. You go preach that. But before you go, you be sure it's in my name. And you wait till in Jerusalem till you get power to go do it from on high. If you don't, you'll be out there on a mission all your own without any support whatsoever. I trust that every worship service that we enter into, no matter what the subject, the theme, the text, or the amplification, those thoughts still today need and should be preached. That he suffered and that rose from the dead, and that remitted sins. Not the preaching of it remits sins. But the preaching of it tells you how he remitted the sins. Praise his great name. I've asked Brother Steve Wilkinson to open services this afternoon. Brother David Montgomery will come and preach for us. And Brother Paul Montgomery has consented to lead us all in prayer. And let's pray that the Lord be in these arrangements, that it reaches to a higher source than just
their Heavenly Father. We thank you that we are able to come together with peace and love with one another. We ask you to bless us now when we bow to wish to hear thy great name. Bless these two men who are about to stand. Let them not preach themselves, but the name of Jesus Christ. Bless this church for the years to come. Let them be able to praise here. Let them be able to come in peace and in love. We ask to bless the loved ones who are stricken to bed, the ones who so much desire to be with their children. Comfort them and comfort the ones who are taking care of them. And the ones who recently lost, bless them and bring them to comfort. Oh Lord, we ask you to forgive us for our sins. We ask you to bring us into remembrance of them, to also bring us into remembrance of thy salvation and thy grace we have bestowed upon us. Forgive us and thank thee for what you have done for us already. And bless us all. These things we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
It's good to have the opportunity to be with you. It's always a pleasure to be at Bethel Church. As I've often thought about you in this part of the country, and I've heard other ministers and friends say the same thing. It's like taking a refreshing step back in time to come and to be with you and come to a church in a country setting with good country folks and folks that love the Lord and love to worship Him. It's a pleasure to come worship with you always, and I hope the Lord will bless you to be able to continue to stand for the things that you've stood for all these years. And the Lord will bless you with His Spirit and lead you on down life's pathway, that the church continue in this area. It was not my desire to come and to intrude on the whatever way that you conduct the services here, and I hope that's not what I'm doing at this particular time, but to come and just to worship with you. And I'm thankful to have had the opportunity to come and just, as we did this morning, praise and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that's your intent. He asked me to open services, so I know how to do that. My daddy taught me that back when I was first exercising, how to open services. But if I forget, somebody will stick their hand up, I'll remind myself how to open services. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, sometimes you get carried away is what I mean, and you forget about, hey, I'm supposed to be introduced. Mark 16:15, I'd like to read to you this afternoon, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And so after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with the signs following. Amen. In the text that we read in your hearing, we find obviously in the very beginning the command from the Lord. The command was particularly, if you'll notice, to the 11 that were gathered with him. In verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not that them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, which refers back to the 11. So we know that the Lord is speaking unto the 11. He's not commanding, I don't believe, the ministry in general, but what he's about to command is to the 11. Now, that's important, because there are a lot of people in the world today, without throwing any stones or trying to be overly critical of people today, there are a lot of people that claim to have the signs that are recorded in this particular chapter, along with some others. And if indeed this text or this command is fulfilled and was fulfilled by the 11, then there is no foundation for many of the things that go on in the movements of the world today. But what he says here clearly is to go into all the world, go ye into all the world, go ye into all the world, ye 11, into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. I don't have any idea that the Lord is talking about preaching to cats and dogs and animals, because they're creatures. But the Lord didn't have any intentions of us preaching to animals and creatures of the world. But we remember over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So it's evident to me that there is a creature spoken of in God's word that the Lord expected the apostles to go preach to that are creatures, and I believe to be the new creatures, children of God, the ones that are born of the Spirit of God, the new creations of God. The children of God, I can say it simple like that, he expected them to go and to preach to them. But now the command was to them to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, does that mean to every children of God? I want to ask you a question. If this is a command to the apostles, were you there to hear the apostles? And the obvious answer to that is no, you were not. Well, were you there to hear the apostles preach this gospel? The command was to the apostles to go and to preach the gospel to every creature. You're a creature, and I trust the children of God, but you weren't there to hear the apostles. So, you know, they didn't fulfill the command, or they did. I believe that they did fulfill the command to preach the gospel to every creature. But I believe that they were to go to a certain realm of God's kingdom. Now, I wanted to show you just something real quickly. If you'll notice, as you read through God's word, as briefly as I can, you'll find that when the apostles use expressions such as all men and every man and every creature and all creature, as it is in this scripture, you'll find that it has reference to preaching not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. It in no way means every single Gentile, but it means that the word be taken not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. In other words, it goes and it's presented to the Gentile nation. It does not mean that they were expected to go and to preach to every creature while they lived on the face of the earth. No, it doesn't mean that, because the command was clearly to the apostles, and it was to go and to preach the gospel to every creature. Now, the clear meaning of this is that they were going to be going not only to the Jews, but they're going to be going also to the Gentiles. You'll find in Acts of the Apostles where the apostles not only preached to the Jews, but they also preached to the Gentiles. We remember in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 48, he said, as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. Before he said that, talking to the Jews, he says that it was needful that the gospel first be preached to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, they judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life, believing that Christ did not come into the world Jesus Christ was not the Messiah. They judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life. It didn't mean that the apostles judged them unworthy or that God judged them unworthy, but they judged themselves unworthy about their actions, that they were unworthy of everlasting life. That's simply what it means. But the point is that they turned to the Gentiles. I believe at this point is when the gospel began to be, the thrust of the gospel was going to the Gentile nation. It was to go to the Gentiles, to the every creature under consideration. I want to nail down one text, if I can, and just to prove that the particular passage that we're talking about was fulfilled. Go to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Notice with me verse 22 and 23. He says in verse 22, let's start with verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet he is now reconciled. He's speaking of Gentiles in that verse. You that were one time aliens, but now you're also reconciled. Notice verse 23. If you continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and now watch this, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Now what did it say in Mark? It says, preach the gospel to every creature under heaven. Paul says that command, that mission was fulfilled. The apostles fulfilled that mission by preaching the gospel first to the Jews, but also carrying it to the Gentile nation. Again, it doesn't mean that they have to go to every Gentile in order for that to be fulfilled. But Paul says the fulfillment of it has already come to pass. So therefore, we can conclude if it has come to pass, that the gospel has been preached to every creature which is under heaven. Now, I ask you this. If that has been fulfilled, what about the rest of this text? He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We understand that. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding what he's done for us, there's a great deliverance in our heart, a consolation that we can know, not in any way receive if without the knowledge of that. There's a salvation in believing and understanding what God's done for us. Not eternal salvation, but a gospel salvation, a deliverance of consolation of what Christ has done for us. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved from that standpoint. But he that believeth not shall be damned or cursed, because they don't believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they do not receive the consolation that is in it. Notice with me now verse 17. And remembering that Paul says this text has been fulfilled. Paul says this text has been fulfilled. Verse 17. And these signs shall follow them. The word follow in the original means to attend near or to be close by them that believe. Notice this. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In what day? In the day of the fulfillment of this text. In the days of the Acts of the Apostles, when the apostles were alive. He says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. We find recorded in the Acts of the Apostles occasions where the apostle cast out devils. We find in the 8th chapter of Acts where Philip cast out devils. We find in this text, he says, in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. We find in the Acts of the Apostles that they spake in tongues that were not their own native tongue. They spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The apostles did that. And those that immediately received the ability to do that from the apostles. He says in the next part, they shall take up serpents. They shall take up serpents. Now, these guys over in Kentucky, braver than I am, I'm going to tell you. You know, maybe it's Tennessee. Well, somewhere over there where they, you know, handle serpents. And they get bit so many times, they're immune to the poison and don't hurt them. You know, I'm not that brave. But I want you to know, I find a clear, now they claim their fulfillment of this commission. They claim to have this power, this ability, when really, in reality, they're just immune to the poison. I mean, they get bit and they get harmed with these things, and sometimes they get killed, and they say, well, it was because they weren't faithful enough. Likely story, wouldn't you think?
Yes.
I want you to find that the Apostle Paul, when he was going to gather some sticks to build a fire to keep warm, a serpent, venomous serpent, bit him on the hand, latched onto his hand. And he shook it off into the fire. When he was bit, the pagans that were with him, they said, now, surely this man's committed some sin, and this wouldn't happen to him. That's the way folks are. If something bad happens to you, bound to be something wrong with what you're doing. And he shook it off into the fire, and then when they saw he wasn't hurt, they said, this man's a god. People are fickle, man, I tell you. He says right here, they shall take up serpents. And we find the apostle was of no hurt because God had given him the power and the ability to continue as long as he was needed as an apostle to establish his churches and to preach the gospel for as long as God. And I wanted you to know that Paul's head did not roll off into a basket until God determined his time was up. God preserved him and protected him. That's the essence of what he's talking about. Now, if they shall drink anything, they would very commonly, if there was somebody that they disagreed with, they'd slip them a poison cup and they'd get rid of the riffraff that's causing the problem. Very common for that to happen. But we find that within the power and the ability of the apostles, that they were not permitted to do that because God gave them special power and ability during the establishment of the New Testament church with the Jews and the Gentiles to not come to any harm until that end was met. He says in this, and it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We find these evidences, and notice in the last verse of this, and they went forth and preached everywhere. They did what God told them, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. The things that they were doing was not so that you could glory in the signs. They were not speaking in tongues so that say, "Whoa, that brother, he's really got a gift to speak in tongues." The reason why they were able to speak in tongues is to break down the language barriers that existed with so great a mixture of peoples in those lands. It was also to exemplify the power of God, the ability of God who put the language barriers there to begin with. Remember the Tower of Babel? God also broke down the language barriers by his power and to enable his gospel to have free course. And we find that it was a showing of God's power that enabled them to do that. And they never, ever magnified the gifts. But when they received the gifts and they got their attention with the gifts, the apostles, instead of pointing to the gifts, they pointed to Christ. They said, Christ gave us the power to do this. The Lord gave us the power to do this. They never, ever pointed at themselves and what they were able to do. This is why I don't like bragging preachers. You know, bragging on their ability. And I like men of God that recognize where the gift comes from. That glory in the God of glory. And you'll find this pattern throughout the New Testament. As you study in the Acts of the Apostles and see the fulfillment of this, remember that these things were fulfilled in the days of the apostles. And if they were fulfilled, then what you see in the world today that appears to be these signs is not really the real thing. I'll leave you one text to prove it, and we'll close. In the book of John chapter 4, the Lord told the woman at the well of Samaria, that the time is coming and now is when the true worshipers must worship me in spirit and in truth. That's connected with a coordinate conjunction. It must have both of them. You say they have, boy, they don't have the truth, but they sure got the spirit. That won't work. They don't really have the true spirit of God if there's not the truth. But with the truth is present, we'll find the presence of the spirit of the living God. And I want you to know that the world today, though it may seem to be a spirit, that if they do not preach the gospel, the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe we have that, by the way, I don't believe it's the true spirit of God. I believe it's manufactured spirit of God. I believe it's some kind of spirit, but it's not the spirit of God. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. I trust that the things that we said have been beneficial to you. Maybe talk a little bit about what God's word says. And I'm happy to present to you Elder David Montgomery.